Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Hallelujah. Woo! We're excited to be here this morning. Alright. I'm also excited to be here this morning. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the privilege to be in your house, to be in your presence. Lord, I ask that you speak to us, you work on us, strengthening us as the people of God. I give you praise and I give you glory in Jesus' name. And somebody said, amen. Wow, put your hands together for the Lord and you may please be seated. We're looking at a few things. It's a season for some nice messages. What do you think? Last week, I'm sure you heard some powerful messages. And this week, you're also going to hear some more powerful messages. What do you think? Yeah. I shared a scripture with my church workers, and maybe I want to start with that scripture as we go along, okay? First Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Michael, what's happening? You should throw the clutches away. You should start walking properly. What do you think? In the name of Jesus. Huh? Wonderful. First Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2 verse 9. Are you there? You have a Bible? Akim. It's Akim. Wow. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Where you come from? First Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people, you are a kingdom of priests, God's holy nation, his very own possession. This is so you can show others the goodness of God. For he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Verse 10 says, once you were not a people. That is why when you are not a people, that's how come, for example, when the Indians are, they're getting married, they do it for about 1 week. And the black people are married, you don't even know about it. Because the black people are not a people anyway. White people are not a people also. Because when you talk about a people, you are talking about a group or a race that is bound by practices, customs, traditions. There are things that when you say, oh, this is a race, they are bound by the way they behave. You see, we are not a people. That is why people just go around doing all the things they do. You understand what I'm saying? You see, if we are people, we will know how a man approaches a woman. Pastor Sam, I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Yeah, there's a way a man must approach a woman. There's a way a man who's married to a woman must handle and treat a woman. If we are people, there are things that surround all these kind of lifestyles. When we say, once you were not a people, it was a very miserable place. Now you are the people of God. Not only are you a people, but you are people who walk and operate and have practices that are in line with the Bible.
Okay. I don't know why you're quiet. I don't know whether it's my six figures, but whether you like it or not, God will make somebody give the six figures. I tell you. I'm not joking at all. Yeah. You see, once it's not for me, I'm bold to say it. If it's for me, I'll be shy. This one is not for me, so I'll talk out until God moves. And I see God moving in the congregation. We were not a people, but now we have become a people of God. So it tells you and I that there are ways to do things in the church. I'm preaching about those who leave you. I have the book. I'm preaching from this book, those who leave you. Now, when you join a church, that's the way you must behave. I should not be begging people to give money for the work of God, because it is part of your responsibilities anyway. It's your reasonable service. I don't have to beg you to come to church on a Sunday, because once you become a Christian, as a people or somebody who belongs to the kingdom of God, Sunday morning, you cannot be found anywhere on a Sunday morning. You cannot allow any job in this world to put you to work on a Sunday morning, because as a people or somebody who belongs to the kingdom of God, Sunday morning, that's your Sunday morning. It's not something we discuss or negotiate. Yeah. Now, it's like if you approach a young lady that you want to marry her, it cannot happen until you pass her and go and see her people. That's not how things are done. Those young people who end up, you know, following boys and girls and even living in the parents' home, you realize that these are very hopeless, visionless, deaf and dumb people. Because there's nothing that defines who they are. You see, I get vexed when I see people who handle boyfriends and girlfriends in their homes. I get vexed. I tell you. Not my gate. Not in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And those who live there, they know it. Not my gate. Yeah. Not my gate at all. Yeah. Because in my house, we have practices and customs. We have traditions. And my trees have not even started bearing fruits for you to see a fruit to come and even want to eat from my tree. Yeah. And if you understand what I'm trying to say, yeah, that's the way we do it. That's the way we do it. When the time comes, we'll take them through the right way to do it. I come to church, and I go, and then there's a boy sitting in my house talking to my daughter in my house. I will shout, "Thief, thief, 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 thief." Your life will never be the same again by the time in the house. You're a thief. Yeah, I will tie you down and call police. I tell you. Yeah. 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 I'll padlock your wrist to my grill until the police comes. So I came and I found him in my house picking up my things.
Yeah, that's what I'll say. Your life will never be the same, I gotta tell you. After I've given you some slaps and some coughing. Uh-huh. So that at least they will know that indeed you were TV when I came to meet you. Once you were not a people. When you say a people, that's what I'm trying to say. When you say a people, you are talking about people who are bound by certain regulations. And it's sad that many of us have grown up not knowing the boundaries and customs and traditions. So when we become church members, we don't even know how to also behave also. As I'm preaching about those who leave you. When people leave the church, they send unvoiced messages. When people leave the church, so the unvoiced messages of those who leave you, that's what I'm preaching about. The unvoiced messages of those who leave you. When people leave, they say something without words. Now, God has blessed us with this church. And we must care it. We must care the church. We must fight anything that fights the church. We must protect the church. Because as we protect the church, we are protecting the people of the church. We are protecting this place to be the right place for encouragement and for progress. You cannot come to the church looking for God to help you and to bless you. And then right in the church, you are getting people saying all kinds of things, people rebelling, people practicing things that are, I mean, you wonder whether you have to be part of the church or just better stay outside. I am preaching about the unvoiced messages of those who leave you. Second Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2. Second Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2. The Bible says, but the only letter of recommendation we need is you yourselves. It's very interesting sometimes when people come to me and they say they want a letter of recommendation. And they always assume that once they want a letter of recommendation, they must get it. But you see, you must understand letter of recommendation. It means that I must be able to say, so you should pray that I have something good to say about you. So if you are not in my good books, you shouldn't even come to me for a letter of recommendation. It's so interesting how church members always want to push the pastor's hand into things that the pastor doesn't want to do. So you come and say, I want a letter of recommendation. Are you sure you want a letter of recommendation? Do you think that I am able to recommend you for anything? And sometimes when they come, they want it now. Church members are fantastic. Letter of recommendation. So, if we are going to be honest, if we are going to be genuine, then I should be able to refuse to give you a letter of recommendation. Because if I write, I can't write something negative. Because you throw it away anyway. Unless I seal it up. If I seal it up, you take it, then it's like, you won't get a job. I don't want to do that to you. You get it? So, The nicest thing for me to do is to say, you know what, I cannot give you a letter of recommendation. You see, you interpret it as a very bad thing, but you don't know that I'm actually helping you. Yeah. And then people get vexed if you can't give them a letter of recommendation. But it's not so easy for a pastor to write something that is not true. It's like when you are in the business of burying dead people. I don't know how some pastors have it as their business to bury people who are dead when they don't know them. Because what are you going to say? Oh, this person is in heaven. Don't cry. He's going to a better place. How did you know? Where do you know this person from? You know how they live their lives? But at least as a church member, even a church member, it's not all church members I can say things about. Yeah, there are some church members, you just say general things. You just stay on top of the, you know, you stay on top. Don't Don't go down. No, no, no. Not even for 2 inches. No. Stay right there on the top. Oh, she used to come to church, you know, now and then, at least every other Sunday we see her and we believe that, you know, she was doing her best and, you know, God knows best. Rather than, oh, sister Bond, I know she's in heaven right now in the Father's arms enjoying heaven. Hey, are you sure? Well, Apostle said that, but the only letter of recommendation we need is you yourselves. Your lives are a letter written in our hearts, and everyone can read it and recognize our good work among you. Good work among you. The Bible is saying that you and I are walking letters. So it means that whatever you do, you don't have to say it. We have to read it. Yeah. We have to read it. Look at how somebody is part of this church for years. And then, all of a sudden, the person is not in the church anymore. What do you want us to think? It's a very confused situation.
Yeah.
I see you have a set, sometimes you have some bush people who come to church who don't know how to behave themselves in the church. You come to church, you're taking care of the children. And children are very, very smart. When they don't see you one Sunday, they begin to wonder, where is Miss? Where is this? So you miss you 2 weeks. They're wondering. Even when I go home, my little boy will come and ask me. Sometimes weeks and months later, then he will ask, where is this person? Why is this person not coming to church anymore? Even a little boy has seen that there has been a certain shift that you cannot really understand. It's like, what is this? What are we supposed to interpret from this kind of shift? Those who leave you say messages or say things that are not heard. That's what the Bible says. We are letters. So whatever you do, it is something we read. Are you with me? So that's the first thing I want you to know. That people who leave give out many on voice messages. People who leave on voice messages. Yeah, it's not like you can dial 123 and then you can hear, hello, good morning, I'm not... No. When you dial the voicemail, no message. There's nothing said. It's almost as if the person is trying to make you guess. But you have been around here so long that you should not allow us to guess why you went out. And I was preaching during the service about godly, when you are leaving, leave well. You must be as God and as a Christian enough to talk about when you are going or you are leaving something. Don't just check out of people's lives. You can't repay evil for good. Or you can't repay evil good with evil. Yeah. When you say that, we have to turn it and use with or for. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Now, people who leave love to hide behind the fact that they have not given any official reason for leaving. If you were to ask somebody who leaves the church, oh, well, we are not seeing you again. What's happening? So, I'm there. You know, yeah. How come you see me? You have not said anything. Now, when you do that, you cause confusion. Because we know you. We know you in the church. You stand on stage and you sing.
We know you. You introduced the pastor. We know you. You're in the choir. We know you. You play instruments. We know you. You are an usher. We know you. You are a church worker. So that sudden journey you have embarked on, that sudden absence. You are saying something you are not saying.
Listen to what the anointed man of God says. He says, you see, every action carries with it an unvoiced but distinct message. The message that is given by those who live is often not written with pen and ink. It is a message spoken without words. People who live give off an unmistakable message, whether they like it or not. Everyone can read it, everyone can see it, and everyone can feel it. If it was right, you would have been here. If there was no problem, you would have continued just like everybody continues. You can't fool people when you leave and even don't say anything. There's a message you are bringing across, and it's not a nice message. Why is the departure of a leader or a long-standing associate not something that passes unnoticed? Why? Does it not just go unnoticed? Why does it leave a lingering and bitter taste in our mouths? The answer is simple. People who leave you do not leave quietly. Anybody who you don't see around, they've not left quietly. They have left saying something that people have not heard. They don't leave quietly. They leave a message for all to ponder over. This message is usually destructive in its effect. Look at that. Every Sunday you stand here and you sing. All of a sudden we don't see you anymore. Up to today, people are asking questions. Up to today. It's like, what is the message? What is the title of the message? What was the scripture that was used? People are wondering, what message did the person preach? And it's destructive because once you are part of this church and you are, especially even at a vantage point where you are doing something beneficial for the church, when you leave like that, you are sending a wrong signal. You are sending a wrong signal. Because the question is, something must be wrong. Something got to be wrong. I mean, Pastor Isan is here every Sunday. You see him now. Sundays you come, you don't see. You see somebody else playing the keyboard. Now, Pastor Isan has not said anything officially. He has not gone on 98.1 FM. He has not gone on Channel 9. He has not gone on HG whatever TV. He is not standing in the pulpit to say he is leaving. But that thing that he has done, 2 Sundays, 3 Sundays, we've not seen him. Pastor is also not saying anything. That thing sends a wrong signal. How? You see, so some of you don't know that when you don't turn up for meetings, what it means. Yeah. You are part of a group. They are responsible. And that is why we don't, that is one of the things. We don't understand our responsibilities. People, this is when I said, I believe God is going to bless somebody this morning. You say, everybody, most people lifted up their hands. When I took the envelopes, then people came down. You see, because when it comes to responsibilities, people don't deal with that. When it comes to privileges, that is when people shout. Because everybody wants privileges. Now, when you join a church or when you join a group, let's say you join a church workers group or something, you got to know that there are some things that I will have to do. You can't fool anybody. You can't fool yourself. If you are part of the choir, there are responsibilities. That's it. Whether I am the leader of the choir, or my wife is the leader of the choir, or Pastor Son is the leader of the choir, that is not the problem. The problem is that as long as you join something, there are codes of conduct around the membership.
in that particular thing. And therefore, when you leave, you are sending a message. You are sending a message. I said you are sending a message. And you should watch out. Those of you who are abscond, those of you who fail to perform the things you are supposed to perform, you should watch it. Because when you do that, whether it is in your favor or not, you are sending a wrong signal in the church. When you come to church, you don't see Sister Esther sitting down here. You wonder, what's happening? One Sunday, okay, maybe she's not feeling well. Second Sunday, hey, you see people saying, you hear from Sister Esther? Now, what good can somebody who sits at the second row absent herself from church for how many Sundays? What good can it minister? Eh? Madam, what good can it minister? When we're not seeing you, we're not sure what's happening. Yeah. At least we are seeing your face now. We're wondering, what kind of worker is this? Some of us know that it was your job. I said, what kind of worker is it? Working in God's house in heaven? Abba. Dressing people's wounds. Yeah, she owns the hospital. So if she doesn't go, people die. That's why. Is he? Being a nurse is not such a nice thing. Yeah. What kind of job is this that you have to go during the night when people are supposed to sleep? When you say come and pray in the night, you don't come. I'm going to work in the night, you go. No, there is nothing nice in leaving without, like, while Raven, I see you in the corner there. No, there's nothing nice when you don't come to church. You tell us something different. You say, where is he? He's home. Well, why is he home? Can he not come to church? Oh, you people fighting, or he didn't love you no more. You see, when you and your husband come to church, it'll give a different message. Yeah. And when he doesn't come to church, it's also a different message, even though he's not saying anything. Yes. Yeah. I said, those who leave, they send messages, unvoiced messages. There's no, hello, this is Pastor Collins, this is voice message. I'm not able to take your call. Please leave me a message and I'll call you back as soon as possible. There's no message in the voicemail. But there's a message about you leaving. People who leave you always give an official reason for leaving. They always give an official reason for leaving. That's an official reason. When Jesus was breaking the bread and sharing the wine, and the guy decided to leave. What could be good about when the master has some special things to tell us and you got something important to do? When they began to wonder, because maybe there's something that Jesus has sent him to go do. It sent a message that the people were very confused about. I'm talking about people who leave the church and leave as if everything is okay. Oh, it's not a big deal. I can go. I don't have to tell anybody anything. I can just do whatever I want to do. You can't do that. If this is your church, you must be here all the time. If you are leaving, there's a way to leave. There's a procedure. Yeah. You can't do that. You can't do that. Every Sunday you are here for years. And then all of a sudden, when we call you, your phone is off. When we send text message, you don't respond. What do you mean? What are you trying to say? Is there a problem? Let's talk about it. If there's a problem, let's talk about the problem. Why are you leaving and you don't want anybody to contact you? There can be nothing good in it. Nothing good in it. And when you do that, you create confusion in the church. I said, when you do that, you create confusion in the church. You muddy the waters that the people are drinking from. You mess around with the water. You mess around with it. And people are afraid to drink. Say, hey, people who come here, they go. So let me just stay in my corner. I don't want to experience all these people I've experienced. People begin to, you know, reserve themselves. As those who leave you, they say some things that are not said. Yeah.
People who leave you also give unofficial hints as to why they left. They give official and unofficial. Casual comments. Somebody said, I ain't going there no more. Why? Do they eat people here? Stephanie King. That place? Me coming there? What do you mean? That place? It's a church. We serve God here. Why do you refer it to as that place? When you have not actually officially said anything about why you have left. And you are calling the place that place. The church of God, the temple that we go and worship God, you are calling that place. Meanwhile, you have not said anything officially or unofficially. But somehow, you are giving hints. If you like, you meet anybody who used to come to this church, and why are we not seeing you? And see what they will say. They will never say anything official. They'll say something. Something that will still make you wonder. Make you wonder. What could have happened? What could have happened? How come? What could it be? Hey, are we safe in this church? Is this church a good church for me? Hey, is that how these things work? Let me see. Maybe I should advise myself now, you know. Confusion. Comments. Conversations. Unguarded remarks. Somebody told somebody who left the church. She said, you're looking good. He said, wow. He said, because since you stopped going there, you're looking good. You catching your night rest, right? Now, if I go on Facebook, and of course, Facebook, all of us are friends, whether we are in the church or not. And then I see Sister Carla, who is no more in the church, make a comment to Sister Stacy and say, you're looking good. You're catching your night rest. You bet that I know what you're talking about. Yeah. We know. It is a coded message, only meaningful to those who know about that thing. Because as a church worker of Lighthouse Chapel International, whether you like it or not, you can't have 12 hours of sleep. There must be something very wrong. Yeah. Jesus said, those who sleep, they sleep in the night. It's work while it's day. For the night coming where no man can work. So we work. And so the hours of sleep is quite less. So when somebody makes a comment that, you're getting your rest, isn't it? That's why you're looking good. Then the person is trying to suggest, make comments on guarded remarks that since you left Lighthouse Chapel International as a church worker, now you are sleeping from 10 to 2 or 10 to what, 6. So your cheeks are getting puffy. You're looking nice because your body is resting. You didn't know that all those activities, God was your spiritual aerobics. It was keeping you in form and in shape. I've seen so many people leave this church and they get fat. I can give you names of people who were very fine and nice shape. When they left the church, they became like elephants. Yeah. I can tell you names right now. And when you see them, watch them since they left the church. They've gotten fat. Because the Holy Ghost gym has gone. They have left the Holy Ghost gym. Yeah. Did you know? Those who leave the church, you watch them when they leave. They get fat. Yeah. Because there's nothing that presses them anymore. There's nothing that makes them and put them under pressure. That you are active. You are coming in the morning, late in the night. You're waking. You see, even when you are that active, your time is so precious. Because any little time you get, there's no time to fool. But when you don't have anything doing, like those of you who don't have any work to do after church, what are you going to do? Then you see ideas come. And then somebody calling you, let's go here. Let's go. Before you realize, you have found yourself into something very useless. But those who have something to do after church, they'll go. By 6 o'clock, we are meeting. That one, we don't know when we are closing. If you close early, you are in a hurry to go home because tomorrow you are going to work. So you live a very purposeful life. Your time, there's no time to joke. You're getting your rest because you're looking good because you're getting your rest. Let's see who is resting and who is working. Let's see when that day appears. Who will get rewards and who will not get rewards? The only rest you can rest is in the grave. There's no rest here on earth. Yeah. I tell you. And those who really leave you, they really review why they left. Yeah. You see their emails, their text messages, their phone calls. Things are passing through. I said things are passing through. Last point for today. I was giving points, though. You didn't know. The most painful part of the message of people who leave you are the questions they generate. Why did he leave? Why did she leave? Why did that individual leave? Oh, she's been in this church all this while. I used to enjoy her singing. I used to enjoy her. Why? The questions. And anytime people have questions, they are confused. It's true. So, do you want to leave this church and leave the members of the church with questions? Can you bear the responsibility of generating confusion in the minds of people? Can you handle it? Can you handle it? That because of you leaving the church, you have caused questions to arise out of the minds of the people without answers, and you are out there enjoying yourself. You cannot have peace. Give me the scripture for this morning, my dear, if you have the wisdom of Daniel. That's a painful part. The questions that they generate. Yeah. No, even for husbands and wives in the church, apart from the fact that they have responsibilities, like how Brother Brian and his wife, you know, sometimes he will sit here.
I don't know why you come and
sit here. You don't know why this one came to sit
here?
Okay. He was assigned to this position today. And the husband is at the back. Unless it is an official duty. When the wife is here and the husband is there. I said, okay. Did you see Sister Charlene? They were not sitting together today. It generates questions. So she's asking, where did this young man come from? Basman assigned him to that position today. Even leaders who normally take the front seat, the second seat and all of that, when you come to church, unless you came late, but if you come to church and you don't sit at a certain place,
question mark.
Why? She normally sits in the front. Why is she at the back now? And you can watch it. When people move from the front to the back, the next place is out of the gate. Anytime you see people moving, say back. You can go here and wait for them. Do you meet them right at the gate? It means that they are checking out. They are going out. They are going out. The unvoiced messages of those who leave you generate questions. It's a painful part. Who? Why did he leave? You are working in a pastor's office. And then all of a sudden, you've disappeared. People say, where is that lady who used to work in pastor's office? We say, well, she doesn't come these days. Used to come around with book. I don't see she no more. Where is she? Now, what you don't know, for us, is some of these people have been given some very delicate roles and responsibilities in the church. Very delicate. Some of the people even sometimes have some information about some tithe paying and all of that, which is not something that, you know, you want to just give it to any and anybody. So they were given a certain level of trust. And then all of a sudden they are not around. I tell you, questions are generated. It's just like you are in this church, Andreska, and then one day you come with a big stomach. Then the questions are generated. Who is that? Ah, oh, she got a man. Questions. Who's the man? Who's the man? It's not Prince. Prince is not him. Who is that? It generates questions. Because our lives are like letters written. So the things we do, it raises questions. And the painful part of people when they leave you, when we don't know the official reason, is the questions they are leaving generates. So is the pastor a real good pastor? Maybe he has a problem with the pastor. Beep, beep, beep. And that is very, very painful because you are creating a certain impression that should not be created. People are supposed to come here and find rest in the house of the Lord. People are supposed to come here and be comfortable. People are supposed to come here and feel at peace. But where they are coming to receive refuge and peace, that is the same place where people are causing a lot of... What was this? But when you leave, you generate questions. Turn to the person sitting next to you. Don't leave. Don't leave and don't leave and generate questions. Lady Pastor Mary is looking for somebody to talk to. You see, it's not that she and her husband, they are fighting. The husband has left the church. The husband is preaching somewhere. You see him Tuesday evening sitting right here. This one here, you see, this is the man of God is not here. He's preaching somewhere. And a sister of God, it's also somewhere, it's not here. But if they were here, there's a place for them to sit. Yeah? What do you think? Yeah. Unless you say that when you are here, your stomach feels like it is pinching the wall, so you want to go back. Then maybe we understand. Don't cause people to ask questions about the church. You cannot bear that responsibility. It is too heavy on your head. Don't put your head under a load that will break your neck. It's too much. It's too much. Don't generate questions. If you repay evil for good. I don't know if you understand what the Bible is saying. Evil After the first service, a lady came to me and said, Pastor, please pray for me. I said, why? She said, she has bad luck. I said, this one, it needs interrogation. Because this bad luck, pray for bad luck to go just like that at the back there, tatashi, microwave type of prayer. I said, no. I said, you know what? You need to come, let's sit down and talk. Because this, perhaps, you know, evil. So let's find out why. Have you repaid somebody with evil for good? Then you need to go and correct it so that evil, you don't need prayer. Evil will automatically leave when you repay people good for good. And many people are doing this. Many people are punishing and suffering. And you are even in this church. You are courted. You check out of the church and go to other services somewhere because you're expecting something a bit more stronger, a bit more miraculous. Not knowing that it doesn't take that. It is something that you are not doing well, right? That has caused some things to not work the way you expect them to work. It's not another church. It's not another pastor. My time is up. Stand to your feet. It's not that at all. Yeah. We are tempted all the time. So let me. Man, they are doing deliverance in second assembly. Let me go to third assembly for deliverance service. As a pastor who has come, Prince Giddens, as a pastor who has come to understand deliverance, deliverance is not a joke. Demons don't go easily, you know. I prefer to pray for one person at a time on different occasions than to come and have you all here and I'm saying I'm doing deliverance. So who has the demons? Now if I even locate the person who has the demons, how long will it take for that demon to leave for me after that go to somebody else? Are we going to be here for the whole day? What kind of deliverance service is that? So it's not deliverance service. It's another service. They shouldn't call it deliverance service. Because one person alone, if you are praying for deliverance for one person alone, you'd be surprised. I've prayed for people in the church before from night to early morning. One person. And when they say, do you think the demons are gone? No, one is hiding in the stomach. He said he's not going. He said he's not going anywhere because there's no place to go. Everybody has covered their bodies. He ain't got no place for go. Why do we want to send him away? Now, if you have 10 of those, so it's not real when pastors say deliverance service. They should change it to something, maybe anointing service or something. Fine. Not deliverance. It's a different thing when you're praying for people to be delivered. Hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah.
Amen.
Father, we honor you. We bless you. Speaking to us. The things that are said without a voice by those who live. May we not be in that category. May we not be in that company. May we not rub shoulders with people who live and send questions about the church that, Lord, you have built. If there's anything to question, it should be what manner of works are these? That from nothing, something like this should rise up from nowhere. That must be the questions we must be asking ourselves. Rather than people leaving to cause and create doubting questions upon your church. Forgive those who have done that of their sins. And help us not to walk on that same road. I give you praise and I give you glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. You are here this day, this morning, afternoon. You're not saved. You're not born again. If you were to die right now, you're not sure whether you'll go to heaven or hell. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. If you're here like that, wherever you're standing, with your eyes closed, just lift up your right hand. Pastor, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven when I die. Please help me. Help me. Lead me. Teach me. Show me how. I can go to heaven when I die. If you're here like that, just lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. God bless you. God bless you. I see that hand. Lift it up high. Lift it up high. God bless you. God bless you. Pastor, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. If you lifted up that hand, if you lifted up that hand, I want to ask you to just come to me. Come. I want to pray with you right here. Come. 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 I saw a hand there. Come. Clap for them as they come. God bless you. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. You are coming. Come. Come. Let me pray for you. Let me lead you to the Lord. Come on.
Love myself. I belong to you. Only
you. All right. Sir, pray this prayer with me. I want the church to join in as we pray together. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus died for me. I believe God raised him from the dead. And I open my heart. I receive Jesus to be my Lord and my Savior. Come and live in my heart, Lord Jesus. And make my heart your home. I believe that by this prayer, I have been saved from hell. My name is written in the book of life. And I'm a child of God now. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you put your hands together for the Lord?